Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Cart Driver, Denver's home for wood-fired pizzas, fresh oysters, seasonal market plates, cocktails, and conversation.
Hey, this is Hannah Forden. I'm the program manager here at Heritage Radio Network. This year, we're celebrating HRN's 10th anniversary, and I want to thank all of our listeners and members for being a part of an incredible year of food radio. We never would have made it this far without all of you. So HRN is now in its summer fun drive, and this is when we turn to you and ask that you make a donation to help ensure a bright future for food radio. Whether you listen to one show or 20, there's a reason why you keep tuning in week after week. All of our content is powered by a small nonprofit, and we rely on your generosity to keep going. Help us keep broadcasting the most thought-provoking, entertaining, and educational conversations happening in the world of food and beverage. So become a member today. To celebrate our 10th anniversary, we have some brand new member gifts available online, so I encourage you to snag your new favorite pizza-themed t-shirt or enamel pin today and show the world how much you love HRN. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate so you can snag your 10th anniversary member swag. And thank you.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show tracing the stories behind your favorite Asian foods. I'm your host, Linda Liu. We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, we dig deep on an aspect of Asian cuisine or culture by having a conversation with a passionate people from the world of Asian food. Today, we're talking about the experience of bringing popular ramen concepts from Japan to New York. For both Tonchin and Ichiran, which are highly regarded ramen restaurants from Japan with locations across Asia, New York City was the first destination for their U.S. expansion. Here in the studio with us, we have Anan Sugeno, the owner of Tonchin New York, who is joined by his brother, Toy Sugeno, and Annie Chen, the assistant manager of restaurant operations at Ichiran USA. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with a little introduction on the restaurants and our guests. Tonchin was founded in Tokyo, Japan in 1992 by Katsuhiro Sugeno and his brother Motohiro Sugeno. Tonchin, the name refers to a gathering place, and in this case, a place where many people get together and enjoy delicious food. Their philosophy is in dekitate.
Yeah, dekitate.
Yeah, all right. That translates to made just for you, as the Tonchin family believes that the best ramen is fresh and homemade. And just 2 years ago, which was 25 years after the first Tonchin opened, Anan and Toy, the sons of Katsuhiro Sugeno, brought Tonchin to New York. Amazing job, you guys.
Thank you.
Now, Ichiran Ramen began in the small city of Fukuoka, Japan, in the 60s.
Yes.
And specializes in tonkatsu, pork bone broth ramen. Ichiran was the first ramen restaurant to offer ramen customization for diners and the first to create ramen focus booths, which are individual dining booths designed for a private and peaceful meal. Annie Chen here first joined the Ichiran team as an interpreter for the Japanese training team when the chain first opened its American restaurant in Bushwick, just a few blocks away from here.
Yeah.
A temporary gig turned into a full-time position, and Annie is now helping the brand break into the American market and establish itself as the world's top tonkatsu ramen restaurant. So for both of you guys, please tell us a bit more about your ramen restaurant concept. So what kind of food do you serve? How many ramen variations do you have?
So our food concept is dekitate for you, as Lina, you said. And we serve four kinds of ramen, which is classic Tokyo Tonkotsu, and spicy Tantan, and smoked dashi, and vegan ginger miso ramen. And also we are serving appetizers and like shaved rice, like which is Japanese traditional dessert. Also, we have a full bar. We are serving like signature cocktails. One of my friend is a bartender in Japan. Then I asked him to help like create bar menu also.
Very cool. So it's not just ramen.
Not just ramen. We have ramen, like shaved
izakaya style food.
Right.
Really cool.
I really like their bar. They have really good drinks, by the way.
Thank you.
Annie, what does Ichiran serve?
Ichiran, unlike most other ramen places in New York especially, we only do one type of ramen. It's pork bone soup. So it does, I think, close up the audience a little bit more that way. But we do that because Ichiran as an organization wants to specialize and use their expertise, only focus on one thing instead of focusing on multiple different types of ramen.
The focus is huge.
Yeah, the focus. Ramen focus boost,
yeah.
The focus on our food is huge for us.
So can you explain what your restaurant looks like with those
focus booths?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people on Instagram I've been seeing said it looks like a library, like a little study library cubicle.
So you should be quiet.
We encourage you to be quiet, but you can enjoy it, the space with friends. We do, the dividers between the booths do close up, but it is when you first walk in, kind of, it can be intimidating if that's not what you were expecting, especially. So for those people in our Brooklyn restaurant especially, we do have a table setting that is open on our weekends.
Oh, nice. What about eating of the noodles? Are you supposed to be quiet or loud when you're slurping noodles?
Well, I like it if you're loud because it tells me you're enjoying your food.
I see.
So, you know, do as you wish.
And then Toy, Anan, what does your restaurant space look like?
I think it looks like a normal, more like a make-em restaurant.
Like
as you walk in, you see the bar and then there's a dining space in the back there.
Yeah.
And then we also have the open kitchen in the back. So you can actually see the people in the kitchen making a food and then like coming out ramen.
Yeah. So highlighting the freshness.
Yeah. To make it like really not exaggerating, but like just to stick to our concept. I think we thought it was good to have
that kind of
open. It was exciting to
It, does it look different from your restaurants in Japan?
Totally.
Okay.
Tonchin in Japan is just, we only have like counter table.
Counter table.
Just 10 seats?
Yeah. It was
Tiny too.
Tiny.
Okay. It was our first time to do like this whole restaurant thing. So we, I think at the first we had no idea what we were doing, but
the design looks really modern too. Like a lot of geometric shapes.
Yeah. I wanted to like collaborate with local like interior designer and that's why
we also like we didn't tell them what we wanted because we wanted to have something that American people think of what the Japanese is.
I see.
I think it'll be interesting,
a very localized interpretation
in terms of
and what makes your ramen special, so you know, like the details of like the elements that go into your ramen or like how you treat the dish differently from other ramen restaurants.
I think that what makes our ramen special is that our ramen is tonkotsu ramen, which is pork broth, but we add shoyu, which is called warishita. So I think what makes it special, because our ramen is a little lighter than
The ones
compared to Ichiran or Ippudo.
Yeah.
because we wanted to make it more like everyday food.
Mm-hmm.
That's our intention. And the noodles are a little thicker and a little curdy noodle.
Mm.
I think that's what's special.
Oh, about Ichiran? For us, it's the science behind the food. We have a large team, both in Japan and here, actually doing a lot of research into what ingredients to put together that makes the best soup and the best noodles and the match together. So what we are very proud of is creating a soup that's very strong, tonkotsu pork flavor, without, if you ever cooked pork broth before, it kind of doesn't smell the greatest. It has a really gamey meat smell, so we try to our best to minimize it. And it does get rid of, we do maintain the flavor of the pork without the whole gamey meat smell and maybe other flavors that mix in with it. That's I really like our soup, by the way.
Yeah. And then what about like the noodles and all the other elements?
Well, for us, our noodles are, you have a thicker curly noodle in Tonjin, but ours is, we come from Hakata, Fukuoka in Japan, and traditionally the noodles there are thinner, very straight, made for you to eat really quickly, because they have a culture of actually noodle refills, which is also what we provide. So our noodles are separate from what most people think of ramen curly noodles, which is very straight, very slippery, I like to say, very slippery, and it has a little texture to it, has a bite to it.
Ah. And where do you guys make your noodles and source your ingredients from?
So we make our noodle every single day.
In-house?
In a house downstairs.
Oh, okay.
Like probably from like 7 a.m. every single day. And also we also make soup.
Yeah. That's kind of thing, like my dad, when he started first Tonjin in Tokyo, like 25 years ago, then we keep same thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. That type of tradition, making noodles every day in the morning.
That's great. For us, we do have a production facility. We do make our food fresh also every day, our noodles and our soup. I can't say where we source our food, but a lot of it is local.
Trade secrets.
Yes. Yes.
So when did you guys, Anan and Toy, get involved in the family business? Did you know that you always wanted to get into this family business?
When I was in college in Japan, I don't know why, but I wanted to go to the U.S., but there's no reason.
You found your reason. Okay, I see.
Then, like, suddenly my dad, like, after graduate college, then my dad asked me to help, like, hey, I want to open Tonjin in U.S. Then, would you help?
The stars aligned. Okay.
Okay, this is time, you know. At that time, I decided to join the family business.
Mm. Toy, what about you?
I'm still not, like, 100% committed, but...
I'm on the fence about this.
Like, I was not interested in, like, restaurant business at all. Like, after seeing my brother and, like, my father doing cool stuff, like, outside of Japan, I kind of started being interested in...
Yeah, especially with this New York concept of Tonjin. Yeah. It's so different.
Mm-hmm.
And did you guys have any like restaurant experience before this? Like, did your dad make you work in the Tonjin restaurants at all, or like kind of study with them?
I used to work different restaurant company, like restaurant hospitality industry.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had experience. Then, but like totally different, not just ramen.
Oh,
like,
okay.
So many.
Both Japanese.
Japanese and sometimes like American.
Mm.
It's just bar. Yeah, then I like that, you know, working in hospitality industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I decided to join.
That's great.
Family business. Yes.
And how much research went into your process before you opened here?
Like, we spent almost 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
It takes a lot of preparation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like bringing a Japanese concept also to New York.
Mostly
completely.
finding a space.
Oh, okay.
Really tough.
Yeah.
What
were your considerations? Like, how did you pick your space?
Kind of back and forth, like talking to New York, because I didn't have a visa at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Only I could only stay like 90 days, one time. Then. I just like walking around every day, like in the city, like Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Then, like, finally I found that space. That's...
Which is Midtown.
Like, yeah, Midtown, like 36th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. But there's no, like, style of area. There's nothing.
Yeah. It's very, like, business-oriented. Yeah. Like, I used to work around there. Yeah. A lot of people walking around for lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, and then tourists as well, because Bryant Park is right there.
Then I felt like there's no kind of style, and like there's no good ramen shop.
Correct.
I guess. Then, yeah, I wanted to, like, the place where it can... Yeah, I wanted to...
Like, fill a gap.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Destination.
And did you guys always know it was going to be New York City? Like, did you think about, like, other American cities
like
before?
California or...
Only New York.
Only New York. Wow, okay. All right. And then, do you ever get customers from Japan who come to try the New York version of Tonchin?
Yeah, we... Sometimes we get... some Japanese customers from Japan, mm-hmm. and they...
What's their reaction?
Most of them are really surprised by the gap between the Tonchin Japan and Tonchin New York.
Yeah, the traditional versus the modern.
Everybody said, like, is this ramen restaurant?
But once they eat, start eating ramen...
Oh, they're like, tastes the same?
Oh, this is it.
Okay, good. Yeah. And then what does your father think about Tonchin New York?
I don't think we ever asked that question, but hopefully. But he basically let us do whatever we want.
Like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I think we are... hopefully he's comfortable or...
He's eaten at your restaurant and experienced it.
He was like, I'm taking care of like Japan. Uh-huh. You have to take care of U.S.
Wow. What a responsibility. Okay. All right. That's amazing. All right. And what is it like working with, you know, brothers, with each other? What's your relationship like?
It gets really frustrating.
Wow, Toy is opening up.
Yeah. I just feel like he doesn't really appreciate what I'm doing. I'm just kidding. I think it's easy. Mm-hmm. Easy or...
Because you can be open with each other.
We understand each other without, like... talking sometimes, so
yeah, we have like middle brother.
Mm. Oh, you do.
But he's in Japan.
Okay,
but me and Toy, we have kind of like same, I don't know, like vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why kind of easy to connect. Like,
yeah, that's really cool, and I think it's really I don't know, amazing that it's like, you know, brothers that opened in Japan and now brothers are opening in the U.S. really mirrored.
Thank you.
And unique. So Annie, your career twist at Ichiran was quite unexpected, yeah?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I assume it was a welcome change?
It was looking for a change, definitely. I didn't expect it to be a long-term position because they only hired me to do the training period, which is about 3 months or so. But the end of the training period, I actually ended up learning how to do all the kitchen work. So mm-hmm. I was actually literally helping them work while they opened the restaurant. So they were like, why don't you get on board? And
you were so good at it. They saw your skills in the kitchen.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, thank you.
And how do you like your new role?
I like it a lot, actually. I do a little bit of everything now, and it's really interesting for me because I get to see how things work in restaurants. This is really my first restaurant, full-time restaurant position, so I get to see the ins and outs of how the business works, and I get to learn a little bit marketing, a little bit translation, interpretation, just a little bit of everything.
And do you work directly with the team in Japan? Like, have you gone to the Ichiran in Japan?
I have. I have visited their main office in Japan. I've helped out in one of their restaurants for about a week. I've got to see how things work in Japan. And I don't speak directly with the Japanese mm-hmm. office very often. My manager usually does that.
Right.
But we do have a lot of back and forth between Japan and New York.
Yeah. And do you know why the team decided to expand to the U.S. and come to New York in the last few years?
Well, before they expanded into the U.S., they already expanded in Hong Kong, and mm-hmm. they were a real success in Hong Kong. So they're like, we want to go bigger. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, U.S. is bigger. Yes. So I heard they were thinking about California, but then they decided New York because New York was just way cooler.
Yes, agreed. I think we all agree on that.
And I'm a native New Yorker, so yes, it's way cooler.
But yeah, a lot of foundation has been set here.
Yeah,
I heard it took
about 10 years to get it started here, actually. They were looking for the perfect space for their what they want to build, because we built our production facility from scratch, so they're looking for the perfect space for that, and that took a lot of time.
Yeah, and then tell us more about this unique dining experience of the ramen-focused booths. Like, what has the reception been by the New York audience towards solo dining, and how is it different from how it's perceived in Tokyo and Japan?
Well, I'm not sure how it's perceived in Tokyo and Japan, but I think it's a mixed reception here, actually. Mm-hmm. A lot of people seem to enjoy it the first time around, and a lot of people find the concept unique for just, hey, this is a new thing to try while eating. It's a whole new experience as a restaurant while you're eating your food. And a lot of people who are usually, you know, dine alone, looking for places to sit alone, just be quiet, find a little quiet spot for their lunch or their dinner, really do enjoy it. Also, people who come in pairs enjoy it, but a lot of people who like to dine in large groups, they'll do find that seating a little bit difficult because you're all sitting in a row. It's gets hard to conversate with each other.
Right. And then I guess, you know, there's clearly some differences between like Japan and New York and what's worked there and what works here. What were some of the changes you helped drive here in New York that's different from Japan in terms of bringing in more customers?
I don't know if it's me personally, but the team and I, we definitely want to grow the audience for ramen. It's a really small niche thing in New York. Not a lot of people actually have eaten ramen. You would think they would have, but not really, compared to like Asians know it. All types of Asians would know it. People who are familiar with Asian food, we eat it, but people who are not that, let's say, adventurous in their food have maybe not ventured out to try it. So our concept makes it a little difficult. I think Tongchin's a lot easier to go into as a restaurant to try their food. What we try to do is try to do things like Anime NYC, where we get a different type of audience. They're more people who are more interested in Japan and maybe haven't heard of us, to get them to know about us, to come to us. And
yeah, we got so a lot of people from there. Like, is that a conference or an event?
Well, Anime NYC is sort of like anime con, like convention for people who enjoy anime.
Right.
So it's a growing convention that used to be a part of Comic Con when it first started, and then they separated and became their own thing.
Right. So you're finding some similarities of topics. Yes. Within like Japanese culture to bring people
in. Like last year they had a whole food corner where they had like home chefs come and show different ways of cooking ramen, so we were able to be a part of that.
Yeah And then when you're dining there, you get like a little slip of paper, right? And then you like you customize things. Where you do it?
You get like, when you sit down, you see the menu, and it's a little like a test paper. There's things you circle, things you check off.
Okay.
And like, you're sitting in a booth, so you probably, if you've been to school long enough, you probably feel like you're in school again. But we ask you to customize your ramen. Basically ask you how like rich or in flavor, how light in flavor you like your soup, how firm or soft you like your noodles. So you create that perfect bowl of ramen just for yourself. It's a way to create variety with our ramen, because we only serve one type of ramen.
Interesting. Yeah, very cool approach.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Feast Meets West.
This episode is brought to you by Cart Driver, Denver's home for wood-fired pizzas, fresh oysters, seasonal market plates, cocktails, and conversation. Tucked in a 640-square-foot shipping container space in the heart of Denver's Rhino neighborhood, Cart Driver is the perfect place to stop in for an Italian-style spritz, Prosecco on tap, and a wide variety of tinned fish. Open for lunch, dinner, community hour, and late night 7 days a week, Cart Driver is here for you with fresh, domestically sourced ingredients, and above all, hospitality. Learn more at cart-driver.com.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Feast Meets West, and we're talking about ramen with Ichiran and Tanchin guys. How did you guys have to adapt the Japanese ramen concept for the New York market? So I'm thinking, like, you know, sourcing of like food ingredients, mm-hmm. like serving culture, staffing, marketing, restaurant design, all of that. What are some examples of like the big changes that you had to adapt?
I think one of the things we had to do was, oh, basically we didn't change the ramen style.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But having a vegan option was definitely one thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Vegan. Is that a thing in Japan, being vegan?
Not really. Not at all, I think. But like, what we were struggling with, was that we didn't know if they wanted to eat the ramen. How do I say this? We didn't know if they wanted to eat the ramen that's close to like actual ramen,
okay,
or
something completely different.
Yeah, something completely different.
Okay, or like an Americanized
version.
Yeah, how to approach the vegan?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
We started off like super vegan, not really ramen type of ramen. And then
what is it, like zucchini noodles or something?
Some people used to call it like a pizza ramen because it's got some tomatoes in it.
Uh-huh.
But we figured that this is not really what
they still like, want the ramen experience.
Yeah, exactly. And then we changed it to like miso based.
Oh,
Vichyam ramen. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Yeah. Adapting for like vegan audiences.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah, we also have that same problem with the pork option only. Well, when I entered the team, I was like, you don't have a vegetarian option or a vegan option for our customers. So they have been working on it. I don't know how far they've gotten with it, but they're thinking about it, definitely. It's one option that I've realized that a lot of Asian cultures don't really think that people are very vegetarian or vegan at all.
Yeah.
So they always offer some type of meat, because if you don't eat meat, you don't have sustenance, sort of the idea. Well, I'm Chinese, so that's the idea, especially from my family. So it's a concept that a lot of, I think, Asian restaurants have to learn to work with, and especially create a recipe that actually imitates the authentic food but without using meat is very difficult.
Yeah. And what I've noticed though going to both of your restaurants is like the warmness by the staff. Once I'm there, there's a lot of like greetings, and when I leave there's, you know, more, you know,
thank you
goodbyes
for coming.
Yes, in Japanese. Did you guys have like retain the same kind of like training program, like the serving culture from Japan?
I think that's one of the things we also had a problem with, because we didn't have any like restaurant, like a ramen restaurant, because we only have a counter seating,
right,
where there's no servers or anything,
right?
Because like ramen in Japan, don't you like like chef making ramen, and he's gonna serve it.
Right, super direct. Yeah.
And you buy a ticket with a vending machine.
I see. Yeah. So you actually had to create your like serving and like staff culture at your restaurant.
Right.
But actually, kind of, I had no idea too. Then, our staff they made kind of Tanchin service basic.
They helped out.
We are following that. Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, that's so cute. What about like staffing? You know, here in New York, I know like turnover is really high in the industry. Is that different from what it's like in Japan?
Yeah, it's really, you know, hard to find good people here. But like our staff, they join like when we open, but not like really so many people quit Tanchin.
Yeah.
I think one of the reason is kind of my age, like same age for me.
Yeah, this is like fun working together.
Right, right. It's kind of family.
That's really nice.
That's great, yeah.
Not just like company style.
Yeah.
Only like, we have one store. Easy to, you know, connect everybody.
That's right.
Staffing for us, our service style, we try to keep our Ichiran service style. From Japan, we brought in a lot of the phrases we use, because the idea was to make you feel like you're eating in Japan without leaving New York.
Mm-hmm.
So we did train our staff in how to serve with both hands, to bow, mm-hmm. say the phrases. But we also had their input when we were trying to figure out what is the best way to greet our customers, what is the best way to, you know, introduce our food, explain the concept. So a lot of input from local people of what is the best way to phrase what we want to say.
What's an example of that? Like how you guys do it here in New York, that might be different from Japan.
So in Japan, like Tonchin, there's also a vending machine. You buy a vending machine for your food. You know what you're getting when you're walking into the restaurant. So, but a lot of people here, for our customers here, they walk into Ichiran and they actually do not know what we are, what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So when we greet them, we say, you know, Irashaimase, welcome to Ichiran. And then we have to like probably explain the process,
mm-hmm.
explain who we are. And also we, one thing I've noticed that Japan doesn't do is they don't ask about food allergies a lot. We make sure our staff always question that in case there's some things in our food that can't be, that the customer cannot eat.
Yeah, makes sense. What about like marketing? Do you guys use a lot of social media here?
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys do that in Japan, or it's like, you know, these are institutions in Japan already, so there's no more advertising or marketing?
Yeah, we work when we open. We work with a PR company, like for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we learned a lot, like how to, you know, like.
Like engage reach. With your audience.
Right.
Yeah, marketing.
Yeah. You're like that doesn't really exist in
marketing is difficult.
Yeah.
And for each one, I think in Japan it was organic. Probably for Tonjin too, it's probably organic. Yeah. They just grew popularly organically, so mm-hmm. they didn't have to put so much thought and effort into it. But the New York, especially New York restaurant market, that is so difficult to survive.
Yeah.
So we have to put a lot of effort into getting our names out there and making sure people know about us.
Yeah.
And I use Instagram a lot.
Right.
Yes.
And do you guys do, like, for example, like seasonal things or special days or special evenings?
We try to have like events mm-hmm. consistently with like sometimes we have sake men.
Oh, cool.
Coming over. And then, like, they're serving the sake for each table, which could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we do jazz night.
Oh, nice.
Like, once in a while. So, we try to do something that's...
Yeah, I think...
That's, a unique and that not other restaurant are doing.
Yeah. Right. I think New Yorkers like having an excuse to, go somewhere and come back.
Yes.
What were some other unexpected challenges due to say cultural differences or by being in a new location that you guys experienced?
There is communication, mm-hmm. always a communication problem. I'm actually more in between our actually management is all completely Japanese people. Mm-hmm. They come from Ichiran in Japan. So their management style and the style of management that Americans are used to are very,
so different.
Very
so not
different.
Only are you interpreting the language, you're also helping to interpret
I try to work both ways.
The style.
Yeah, I'm like, this is what he means when he says this. And this is what it means when your manager says this. So
okay.
Figure it out. Yeah, I do that a lot. So it's a lot of communication between trying to figure out culturally what they're saying without, you know, because there's the words and then there's the meaning behind the word that you got to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have trouble with that too sometimes. So sometimes there's a little trouble with that. Yeah, I mean, that's every day speaking with people. I don't know about you guys, but yeah.
I think we can say the same thing because Japanese people tend to be a little quiet and not really outgoing. So I think even though we assume they understand what we're doing or what we want them to understand, they just don't understand because we just have to say it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the things. It's the whole reading the atmosphere.
Yeah.
A lot of Japanese people expect that when you're communicating. You're trying to read between the lines. It's mm-hmm. a lot of part of their communication style. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then with our staff, because our staff tend to be young, more direct approach works better mm-hmm. for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's something a lot of our Japanese management is trying to get used to, being mm-hmm. more a little bit more direct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then is there like a feedback loop with Japan? So for example, does the Japan team ever take some like learnings from the New York locations and apply it back in Japan or vice versa? Or do you guys operate completely separately?
I think we're pretty much separated because like what we do is different.
Mm-hmm. But the market is different. Yeah, market location is different. Yeah.
So, but the spicy zantan is we're only doing it in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what is that? Can you explain what that is in it? The spicy zantan.
Yeah, spicy zantan is like sesame broth kind
of. Oh, and sesame broth.
With pork broth.
Oh, with pork broth.
So they in Japan they did the pop up like spicy zantan pop up thing in Japan for like a week.
Yeah, was that inspired by the success of the dish in New York?
Yeah, it's same thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
How did it go in Japan?
Yeah, it was really popular.
Oh, that's good.
They only just waited one month.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. And how did you guys come up with like your other ramen variations? Because like the dashi, do you have that in Japan?
Yes.
Okay.
We are serving classic Tokyo tonkotsu and smoked dashi and miso ramen that we don't have here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the overall like attitude about like and feeling towards the reception of your restaurants? Do you feel like, you know, New Yorkers are loving it? Do you feel like your restaurants are growing in popularity with the market here?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay.
Because we want, it just makes me, I don't know what, it makes me happy when they finish like a whole bowl.
Yeah, when you see an empty bowl come
back. Yeah, empty bowl.
Yeah.
Like Japanese people don't really finish a soup. They leave the soup.
Okay.
But people in here, they finish like they suck into
with
a bowl.
With the soup as
well. Yeah. So that. That's what makes me happy. And also, I guess eating appetizers before ramen is not something that I'm used to. But that's what we are offering in here. I think it's going to be kind of new style, you know, like having a ramen as a main dish, but still eating appetizers beforehand.
Yeah. I think rule breaker. Yeah. Eating appetizers before ramen.
Yeah, when we are in Japan, like Japanese people, like we go to like izakaya, then drinking and eating like some appetizers.
It's separate. Yeah, it's separate. You go to ramen after the drinking.
Yeah. Like midnight.
Yeah, it's the hangover cure soup thing.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah, that's what you do with ramen. Broth. Yeah.
Yeah. And how does the Ichiran team feel about the reception?
I think the reception overall has been very positive. It's been very fun with a lot of our customers enjoying the concept. It's the idea of just getting people to come in and seeing the booths without... We've seen some customers go look at the booths and come back out and be like, what is this? I don't want to sit here. And we're like, when we explain, like, you can eat with your friends, the dividers do close, it's a private space, semi-private space you can enjoy. And once they sit in and they eat and they just chat with their friends and realize that people aren't like listening in on their conversations as much as maybe other restaurants or people aren't staring at them, they seem to enjoy it a lot more. Yeah.
So are you a fan of dining solo?
I do eat it out alone a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to anyone when I'm eating ramen.
Yeah.
Like I know what I want and just, you know, focus
enjoy
on eating
it.
Ramen.
Yeah.
I think that's the best.
Yeah, I agree. I like dining alone.
Yeah, it's one way to really enjoy your food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, you know, when I want to eat ramen, I go to Ichiran.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
I just want to eat ramen. Okay, let's go Ichiran.
Yeah. Thank you.
So it's actually really good to have Ichiran 34th location close to us.
Yeah.
that's a really busy one. Actually, I was just at your restaurant last week. It was really good. Yeah, I really like their food too. It's different. When you want a different flavor, I go to different restaurants because I can't eat Ichiran every day.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just can't eat it every day. It's good, but not every day.
So what's next for you guys? Do you have more locations coming or other projects that you're working on?
We're doing not just ramen. I mean, like in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to bring some like different brand from Tokyo. Mm. And I don't want to just focus tonjin. Like,
okay.
I want to do different kind of style, like brand in
New York. Yeah. Okay, so not just the ramen. Do you have an idea yet? Are you able to share?
Secret?
Okay, secret. Okay. All right, but stay tuned.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I want to open tonjin, like in different big state.
Oh, okay. So outside of New York then.
Right, yeah. Like LA, like San Francisco, like Chicago. Yeah.
All the metro areas.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
That's great.
I think Ichiran, I'm not sure about... Expanding, we definitely want to
expand. How many locations are there in New York now?
Right now we have three. We opened our third location. So mm-hmm. we're a little busy trying to stabilize ourselves in New York.
Totally fair.
Yeah, putting like 2 feet firmly on the ground.
Yeah.
We're working on that, but like we are definitely looking forward to expanding more into the US market and just take over America. Sorry.
No, together.
Yeah, it's good to have rivals.
Yeah.
It makes us better.
All right. Before we wrap up the show, we're going to do a round of quick fire questions.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just meant to be fun and fast, and please just share what comes to mind first. What's the best thing you ate recently? It can be out, at your restaurant, or at home.
I have one thing I always love to eat. It's the burrata from Otis right there on Bushwick. I love it. Yeah.
Okay.
The fry, it's called the chicken restaurant. They just opened like a month ago.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What kind of chicken?
Like rotisserie chicken.
Ooh.
Oh.
Then they have just chicken.
Uh-huh. You like, the focus.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And natural wine.
Ooh.
Yeah, they have good, like, natural
Where
wine.
Where is this?
It's in...
Park Slope. Crown Heights?
Okay. Korea. All right. Cool. Natural wine, chicken.
You gotta check it out.
Yeah, I gotta check these places out.
Mine, probably Indian curry that I had last night. I don't even remember. I just
ordered
it from Seamless.
Okay.
It was great.
Okay. How many bowls of ramen do you eat a week?
Oh. I'll tell you a secret. I kind of have ramen for breakfast almost every day.
Oh,
wow. Me too.
Wow, breakfast. So breakfast, not like after drinking.
No, for breakfast. Why start
breakfast?
My day off
okay.
with a hearty meal is how I do it.
Nourish.
Because I don't eat a lot of dinner. I come home late. I'm too tired.
Right,
so
right. You get that energy.
I'm hungry when I wake up.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay.
Like before open. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have to eat ramen every day, like 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I have to taste.
Yeah, you're a QA.
Right.
Okay, I see. Do you like vary between the different types, or do you always go with like the
classic one? Yeah.
Classic one.
Probably like 2 times a week.
Okay. All right. Solid ramen lover here. And how quickly do you eat your ramen?
Oh.
It depends on which one.
Yeah,
I'm eating, I guess.
Portion.
I guess Ichiran ramen, I can eat it in like 2 minutes.
Right, because it's so speed fast.
Wow.
Okay, let's do a speed eating contest.
Just slap it. Yeah.
And you just press the button and
it'll come out.
Kaidama.
Oh my god. How fast I eat it? I think under 10 minutes because it's breakfast. I got to run out the house.
Yeah, great. I love it. Okay, and where do you like to get your favorite bowl of ramen or noodle dish outside of your restaurants?
Oh.
So it sounds like, Anan, it was Ichiran for you.
Yeah, for sure.
My favorite noodle dish is actually a Chinese dish.
Mm-hmm.
The fried, stir-fried noodles. So
Chow Fun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, Chow Mein.
Oh, Chow Mein.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I don't have a favorite restaurant for that yet. I'm still looking, yeah.
All right.
I think I like a pho.
Okay. Way to bring in the D&D variety. D&D is great.
Yeah, I love their
pho. I haven't had pho in forever.
Yeah.
I think what I like about it is I don't feel guilty eating.
Yeah,
home,
right.
But
so much, Anon,
so much lighter. Yeah. So much lighter.
Yeah, yeah. Our broth is kind of heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, these are great answers, yeah. You guys, and I love the variety here and the encouragement and the mutual love for the ramen. Yeah. So thank you for sharing your stories, Anon, Toy, Annie.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
It was a pleasure having you guys on air with us. And that wraps up our show. Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. What did you think of the episode? What do you want to hear more of? Please take a few seconds and leave us a rating and review with your feedback wherever you get your podcasts. We are truly thankful for your support. And we'll be back in a couple weeks, that's August 14th, with another awesome conversation from the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please, join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries, like why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode. Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.